Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, this afternoon we have with us White David Kennedy. Dr. Kennedy is certainly one of my favorite guests, and he's often with us to talk about fluoride, but today we're going to be talking about mercury poisoning and how they're poisoning and destroying the minds of our children. Now, the Centers for Disease Control recently came out with a new study pointing out that on average across America, one in every 150 children has autism. It was 101 in 165. Now it's 1 in 150. And, of course, certainly, 25, 30 years ago, it was 1 in 10,000. So it's a 60-fold increase in the incidence of autism. And then we have Asperger's disease and an epidemic ADD and ADHD and a spectrum of neurodevelopmental abnormalities. So that about one in every six children in America has some sort of measurable or detectable neurodevelopmental abnormalities. But the experts that I talk to who investigate this believe that almost every child has been damaged in some way. And why would they do that? Well, the government says, oh, shucks, we have no idea. And I'm talking about the people, the wicked people at the CDC and the NIH, who know exactly what's going on. But how do you tell mothers that you've intentionally harmed their children? And we have the government documents, their meetings where they actually have talked about this, the series where they compare, for instance, the children who got mercury-laden vaccines with children who did not, a difference of 27 times more autism in those children who got the mercury-laden vaccines. So they did take the mercury out of most of the childhood vaccines, but they left it in vaccines we give to children and pregnant women. But even more horrifying is we're giving it to those little black children throughout the world, because we're from America and we're here to help you. And many times we'll round them up and at bayonet point and at the muzzle of a rifle, we will force them to be vaccinated with vaccines that we know will destroy their minds. And that's going on throughout the world today. Well, of course, we know so much about Alzheimer's disease. It's increasing in frequency. And our government says, oh, we know it's increasing in frequency. We have no idea. Dr. David Kennedy, do we have any idea what the relationship is between mercury and Alzheimer's disease?
There's four times more mercury in the brains of Alzheimer's patients, and there's less mercury in their fingernails and hair. And basically, the analysis indicates that genetically they're non-excretors. So you can take a whole group of people, expose them all to exactly the same amount of mercury, and you're going to get a certain percentage of the population fall apart neurologically. And the other, and some percentage of the population doesn't seem to bother them at all. And that's what's wrong with the level of exposure we're all currently experiencing in this country from mercury. It's way too high.
And in fact, is there any safe level of mercury for
none
people?
None that I know of.
And yet, of course, they're giving it to pregnant women in the first trimester. They're giving it to six-month-old children. And they're supposed to get three mercury-laden vaccines by the time that they're 15 months of age. What madness is this? Or maybe it's not madness. Maybe they know exactly what they're doing. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. David Kennedy as we begin to explore the question of mercury toxicity in America. Methylate and mercurochrome were deemed by the FDA to be too toxic to put on the skin, so they outlawed them, but they allowed the same substance to be injected into our children. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. David Kennedy, who is a dentist who is certainly one of my favorite guests. And he's often with us talking about fluoride toxicity, but today he's going to be talking about mercury toxicity because of his concern over the exposure not only of our population, but to dentists and dental technicians who are working with that mercury every day. So, David, why don't you pick up the story of the danger of mercury? First of all, let's talk about it, in dental fillings and how that impacts on literally everybody in our listening audience who has what they call a silver filling, but those really aren't silver fillings, are they?
No, they never were. It's just part of a very long deception of the public about the real nature of mercury. People 200 years ago knew that mercury was a poison. Matter of fact, they used to call the kinds of fillings that we call silver today, or the dentists call silver today, poison metal fillings, because mercury is a very, very toxic substance. It is unusually toxic. It's the most toxic metal we know, with the exception of plutonium. Plutonium is, has to come from a nuclear reaction. So, it's the most toxic non-radioactive metal known to mankind, which means that just one molecule is going to damage something, and that what happens is that the mercury gets into certain parts of the body, usually the brain, and it goes from cell to cell to cell in sort of a domino effect, killing the cell. And that's apparently what happens in Alzheimer's, is that the mercury gets in there and that the cell can't grow or prosper, it can't form new synapses, and it dies. But when it dies, the mercury that was lodged inside that cell then is released, goes to another cell, and it kills another one. So it's just domino effect, and it may take a few years for this to take effect. But that exactly the same thing is apparently happening in children. Is it when a baby is in a womb, it has no way to get rid of anything. It's whatever the mother gets exposed to, whether it's her cigarette smoking, her alcohol intake, her drug use, or medication, that they go into the baby and they're going to stay there until the gestation period's over. And that's what's wrong with dental work during pregnancy. People get exposed to mercury every time they have their teeth cleaned, every time they have a filling drilled on. All of that stuff exposes a new filling put in or an old filling taken out. Doesn't make any difference. They get a big bolus dose of mercury. But if she's pregnant, that bolus is high enough to harm the baby. And that's why the manufacturers don't recommend that.
But do some of the dentists still put it into pregnant women?
Well, the government pays for it. Certainly they do. And matter of fact, there was a big argument here this fall.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and David Kennedy was simply commenting that, that the government will actually pay to have a mercury filling put into a pregnant woman, knowing full well that that's when it'll do the maximum amount of harm, because, of course, the bolus of mercury that she'll get from having a mercury filling put in her mouth during the pregnancy, much of that will, of course, localize within the child, and it has a predilection for the brain. Now, certainly the people who actually manufacture the material used in the mercury fillings advocate that they not be given to pregnant women. Is that right, David?
Yeah, it says in the what's called material safety data sheet that comes with it, it's not for children, it's not for pregnant women, and that there's an effort underway right now in some states, Vermont comes to mind, to prohibit the use in women and children. As the manufacturers have told dentists are fighting tooth and nails. Oh, no, it's no problem. Well, how can you use something when the manufacturer tells you not to? I mean, it's incredible. How could the FDA ever approve it for use in women and children if the manufacturer says it's not safe for women and children? I don't understand the logic of that. They're saying, well, you can't prove that causes this, but basically they have proven that causes neurological impairment. That's, the levels are so high when you do these things that it has to cause harm to the fetus. Nobody's recommending that we have these levels of exposure, except the dentist, of course. I was on the phone with a woman dentist, and she's had three pregnancies since she got out of dental school, and two of them have resulted in dead fetuses. It's called spontaneous abortion, a miscarriage. And then one of them is a child, and then, she discovered that she wasn't feeling that good. She discovered that the dental office that she was working in was contaminated with mercury. And all I can say about that is, duh. And so, long story short, they've tested the one child that was born, apparently normal, and he's not. And then they tested her, and she's not normal either. So they both got abnormal porphyrins coming out of them by the ton. And so, you know, the who does she work for? She works for the state. And they're saying, well, you know, you're just a nutty dentist. You know, nobody else has complained. That's not the point. Is that the tests show this person's being harmed, they should stop harming this person.
And I think it's important. David is commenting on porphyrins. Perhaps for our listeners out there who are unacquainted with this test, and it's a readily done test, I mean, what are the porphyrins and what's the relationship, of course, to the toxic levels of mercury in the body?
Well, there's an especially toxic, it's called a coporphyrinogen, and that there's a couple of labs here in the United States that'll do it, that it's indicative of mercury poisoning. And this is the first test that we've had in the last 150 years where you can say if you've got that element in your urine, you are mercury poisoned or mercury damaged. And that's scaring the heck out of the advocates for mercury exposure, because before they could always say, well, they would measure levels. And they'd say, oh, that level's okay. Well, how do you know that level's okay? Well, this stevedore over here in Japan was able to tolerate it. Well, I'm sorry. That's not a pregnant woman. That's not a baby. These are not reasonable arguments, but anyway, that's the ones they're making. But once you get in the abnormal porphyrin, what they did is they started looking at dental personnel. And then
because
they ran
it's something that you can measure in the urine.
Exactly. It's a simple test. They don't even have to poke a hole in your body. If you got that porphyrin in your urine, you're mercury damaged. And so they started testing dental personnel, and sure enough, they tested damaged. And that's an Echeverria and Wood study, and that's just scaring the heck out of them, because that means that every employer of dentists, if they're having them pack mercury in people's teeth, the dentist is inhaling the mercury. The argument's always been, oh, if mercury was a problem, well, we'd notice in dentists. Well, have you looked? No. Have you looked scientifically? No. But when you start looking scientifically, you find a number of things in the dental personnel. Lectures I used to give back in the 80s were about infertility and birth defects, because that's one of the first things that pops up. You know, why do we keep going back to the reproductive cycle of females? Because the rapidly growing cells are the ones that are damaged by the introduction of another element like mercury. And so that's where you see the inability to conceive or the inability to carry a pregnancy all the way through to term. And that's exactly what the research for almost the last 30 years has found in dental personnel, is that they have a high rate of miscarriage, they have birth defects, they have... The ADA has a study where they like to bring it out, I think it's Boskies or something like that, and don't have any females in it. Well, you know, I'm sorry. You can't really study reproduction if you don't have any females. They dropped all the data on the females. It says there wasn't an adequate response rate, but they actually responded at a higher rate than the men. And it was a stupid study anyway. It's just a male questionnaire out. But when they start hiding the data, you know that they found something they don't want you to know about.
And you say, why would anybody want to conceal information?
Liability.
That's leading to abortion, that's leading to deformed children, that's leading to damage of people's minds.
Well, you know, their liability's hanging way out. Who's been telling you this stuff was safe? Well, that'd be the manufacturers and the people that have the patents. Well, the manufacturer are big names like, you know, Johnson & Johnson and 3M and DeGuza and all the big names in the world have been making this wonderful filling material for the dentist. And who had the patent on the most popular brand for many years? Well, I think PA, American Dental Association, held it through a third party. It was another corporation they set up, so they have an arms-linked relationship. But they had the patent on dispersal, as I recall. And so, you know, there's a fiduciary relationship. They also represent, 150,000 dentists that are using that material for a living.
Well, what do we actually know about, first of all, about the health of the dental technicians, the women who work in the dental offices? Is there any scientific studies that show that they have a higher incidence of miscarriage or deformed children?
Yes, in the United States, the case control study was by Roland in 1994. Gee, this is not real news, Stan. This is what, 13 years old now. But there's a nice new study. It's called the Norwegian Dental Nurses, and that they call them dental nurses in Norway. And that there's a documentary now that has been shown in their country on a number of venues, and it's really got the country up in arms. They've prohibited the further use of mercury filling in that country. I think they phased them out. I think it's supposed to be out by 2008.
They did away with it a long time ago in Sweden, didn't
Sweden,
they?
Sweden began the phase out in 1987, and the dentist says, oh, please, we don't have anything else we can do. You know, I haven't used mercury in my practice since the early 80s. And so I don't know what they're teaching these people in school, but they must be the dumb as a post, because they go around saying they can't figure out how to use anything else. And we'd have to actually use good technique and keep the thing dry. I didn't use the material, and I'm a fine dentist. I've retired now, but I didn't have any trouble at all. You have to slow down and take good care. But you know, they're just. It's like, would you fly with a pilot that says, "Whoa, I don't want to fly with them jets. Them things is too fangled. I want to fly this DC-3 because it's simple, and I'm too stupid to learn how to fly the good one." You know, this is not logical. This is an idiotic statement. When they say it's technique sensitive, what does that mean? That means that they have to develop better skills. Well, if you were talking about a pilot, do you care if it's technique sensitive? No. A 777 or 757 or whatever 77 is a lot more complicated than the old DC-3. On the other hand, I'd rather fly on a 757 if I'm going to Europe than a DC-3, because one takes you 2 days and the other will get you there in 6 hours.
Well, David, what did they find in the Norwegian study? What did they find back in 1994 about the health of the women who were working in dental offices and exposed to the fumes of the mercury all the time?
And what they did in the Roland study, the 1994 study, was done in the United States, California Dental Assistants, I believe, and they did what are called case controls. They actually measured the amount of smoking, cigarettes, and all these other cofactors, the covariable, and that they used as their test experiment with the dental assistants that were working in dental offices that used mercury, and their control was dental assistants that work in some other field of dentistry that where mercury is not commonly used, like in treating gum disease, or for example, that they don't mix up mercury fillings in that situation. And so what they showed was there was a 40% decline in the ability of the female to conceive a child. So right off the bat, there's a decrease in the ability of the female to reproduce. This probably because of the accumulation of mercury in the posterior pituitary, which was shown by autopsies of dental personnel in Sweden. Again, Magnus Nylander took 7 brains. It's a little hard to get dental personnel. And he took 7 brains and showed that there was an enormous amount of mercury in the posterior pituitary, which is one of the glands that regulates the ovulation and all that stuff. So what they found in Norway, and that this is fairly new research, is that there's enormous damage. And many of these girls worked, you know, from their 18 till their early 20s, and then they bowed out of dentistry to have a family or something like that. Well, you know how I was talking about that mercury going from cell to cell to cell to cell? Well, now, 20 years later, many of them are severely impaired. Is that the onset of illness from mercury may be as much as 20 years. And so that's exactly what they found in Norway, is that just because they no longer worked in the business didn't mean that the damage didn't go on. And then many people, a large percentage of the population, have difficulty excreting mercury. We even know their gene. If you want to go get your DNA measured, you can look and see if you're a APOE4. Those are the people that have the most difficulty in getting rid of mercury.
And that's basically a genetic type or subtype, and they have some sort of difficulty, sulfonating and excreting it. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. And it's nothing wrong with them. They're just fine, healthy people. It's as smart as a tack, but don't give them any mercury.
And, of course, then I'd like to know what happened as far as the dentists. We find that the women, of course, 40% decreased fertility, and then years later they began developing a progressive neurological problems. And what was it? Was it a memory, or what sort of things did they notice?
Worse than that. They end up with, debilitating illnesses such as, neurological impairment. So that's what the Echeverry and Woods found, was that when you ask these people for memory, yes, memory is affected, but if you ask them to hold their hand steady and put a little metal rod through a hole, it shakes all over the place. This is not what you want with a dentist. You don't
hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. David Kennedy, and we're talking about the tragic situation that we're finding increasingly in dental personnel now. What do they actually find about dentists? I've heard that the dentists have one of the highest rates of suicide. Is that really true?
Yes, and that suicide is a sign of depression, and that's what mercury causes. It basically upsets the metabolism of the brain. You know, if you want to know the truth, but the Etcheverry and Woods study looked at dental personnel, and they looked at the coporphyrins, and then they ran a whole battery of tests on them, including memory and their depression scores and their memory scores, and that the people that have the people that were exposed to mercury tested more neurologically impaired than the people that weren't. And if they had that abnormal porphyrin in the urine, they were even more severely impaired. So, it's kind of like, you can be impaired by just exposure. You're the healthiest person in the world, most immune system's fantastic. If it exposes you to a little mercury, it'll damage you. If it exposes you enough, it'll kill you. But if you are one of the people that are more vulnerable, about 15% of the population have a different coporphyrinogen, those people were even more impaired. And that means that when that patient's sitting in the chair, how does the dentist know whether or not this is a person that has the APOE4/4? How does that dentist know if this is a coporphyrinogen patient? They don't. And so we're painting everybody with the same paintbrush, and we're saying, see, we don't see any kind of problems. Well, there is no study that has the power to even look at these kind of problems. They did a horrible study. It was terribly unethical, in my opinion. They took children and put mercury fillings in their teeth. They dropped out of the study all the children that had neurological impairment. They wouldn't let them participate. So they basically took the segment of the population that are probably most vulnerable to mercury and took them out of the study. Despite that, they studied the porphyrins, and then they reported the study, but they wouldn't let anybody see what the porphyrin results were. And what kind of study do we have secret results? But what they showed was that there was a tremendous drop in the children's kidneys' ability to excrete mercury after 2 years. And they said, see, that's no problem. How does that? I mean, that's proof positive. I mean, that's a smoking gun right there. And that's the data that they're willing to show you. When they hide in the other data, you just got to know that they're cheating.
All right, fine. Well, now, what percentage of dentists were harmed by prolonged study? Do we have any idea?
I think it's probably, long enough, if you do dentistry long enough, I think it's close to 100%.
And the manifestation of this would be tremor.
Tremor is the first growth sign. Psychologically, the short-term memory loss and depression. A friend of mine was a dentist in Phoenix for many years, and he had terrible problems with his health, and he went all over the United States trying to find out. Good golfer, but he just couldn't get his act together. He got down to Texas, and they ran him through a whole battery of tests, and they concluded that he was mercury poisoned. And they went, what they found was, here's a guy that graduated top in his class, one of the most brilliant dentists they've ever graduated from dental school. By the time he's 62 years old, his ability to synthesize two ideas was on a third-grade level. And by synthesize, that would be like you parked your car in the parking meter, and he's standing there talking to you, and you say, hey, Bill, here comes the meter maid. And he's, long-term memory works. He's still driving those Cushmans? No, they've switched up to another vehicle.
Oh, that thought would be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Kennedy was saying that certainly they found in dentists that long-term with certain dentists, they begin to have tremor. They would begin to get memory loss. And then, of course, were those the primary things that they found in the dentist?
Tremor,
exposure?
Yeah, tremor, memory loss, the ability to remember numbers and words. They did a flashcard test where they would show them and then have them write down what they heard. And then I started to tell you about Bill. Is it the ability to synthesize two ideas had dropped clear down to a third grade level from the guy that was top in his class.
Now, this is what, after about 30 years?
He was 62, so he probably graduated when he was 25 or something like that.
So we're talking maybe 30? Almost 40 years.
Yeah.
Now, of course, 30, he graduated when he was 30, and this is when he was 62?
30, 40 years. You're right.
All right. Well, of course, the thing is, But this certainly is not every dentist. This would be just those who have the difficulty excreting it. Do we have any idea what percentage of dentists would be talking about who would become severely impaired after prolonged exposure to the mercury?
Well, I don't know how long it takes. We did have a guy in the class behind me kill himself in his junior year, and one of my members of my class killed himself within 2 years of graduation. So we do have the depression. That's depression, basically, what makes people do that. So that it doesn't take a long time for this to take effect. There's a study of dental students clear back in the 70s that measured the allergy to mercury, and they showed that the freshmen were less allergic than the sophomores, were less allergic than the juniors, and by the time they were seniors, it was something like 40% of the people tested allergic. So it doesn't have to take a long time, and it has many different faces. And so what does a mercury allergy look like? Well, it may look like nothing, but it may cause brain edema. It may cause what they call urticaria, where your skin gets psoriasis, you're scratchy. So it may cause a thing called lichen planus on the inside of the mouth, which is a precancerous lesion. So allergy is one aspect of it. Neurological impairment. The diseases of mercury that are linked to mercury are Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, and Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, and idiopathic myocarditis. And everybody's heard about idiopathic myocarditis. Only it's the startling drop of a wonderful athlete in the middle of a basketball game or something like that, and they just keel over dead at 21. And boy, what happened to him? Oh, he got idiopathic myocarditis. What does that mean? Idiopathic means we don't know. The idiot doesn't know. Myocarditis, the heart was inflamed. When they take those hearts and cut them up and analyze them, it has 22,000 times more mercury in it than a normal heart. Well, what's that guy doing? And that's a guy whose heart doesn't excrete mercury. And so idiopathic myocarditis, ALS, MS, Parkinson's, all those are linked to mercury exposure. Parkinson's, for example, there are cases of people that develop Parkinson's instantly after a significant mercury exposure. The same with multiple sclerosis. There's no way to separate mercury poisoning from multiple sclerosis. There's probably another disease called multiple sclerosis that may have another cause than mercury. But there are cases of people who are diagnosed with MS that not only got MS from a single exposure, but recovered when they were stopped the exposure. I mean, that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Now, Kirsten, David, what about the dentist? Do they have any idea that they're being actually poisoned by what they're using in their practice? I mean, certainly if I was a dentist and I knew what you told me, I would never put in another mercury filling.
Well, that's where I came from, is that I didn't know any of this stuff until I took a course back in 1984. And I knew some of it, but I wrapped all my mercury up in my office and sent it to the recycler that day. I remember it very well. But the young lady I was talking about that's had the three pregnancies, that two of them ended up in the death of the fetus, we were talking about some of these things, and she knew none of it. And that, her dental school had not told her that you there's a bolus dose when you mix the stuff up, hadn't told her that, OSHA requires you to wear a spacesuit, basically, with the levels of mercury that they're exposing people to in the dental office, in her dental office anyway, and that the one run by the state. They're not telling these young graduates anything, and it's no wonder why they're so confused about the truth.
Well, of course, how did she happen to learn about you? I mean, I'm sure your name is not widely known to all the dentists. Why did she come to you looking for help and answers to her problems?
She's a tenacious lady. You don't want to kill a mother's baby, because that really gets them going.
Right.
And then, so she basically has now, and I've talked about Echevarria and Woods, and I've talked about Nylander. She's talked to all of them.
Okay, fine. So
ran them all down.
And the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to get the information from Dr. Kennedy, and he's got the scientific studies for all of this, and you can get it in many of our tape sets. You've got to understand, you've got to get to your dentist. You've got to let them know that they're being poisoned, and they're poisoning their patients. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we're seeing such an explosion of Alzheimer's disease across America. And, you know, it's such a tragic situation. One of the doctors I practiced with, I mean, it was a good friend, and he's quite a bit younger than I am, and now, of course, he was in a nursing home until recently. Now he's in some sort of a private apartment, but he can't look after himself. He has to be constantly monitored. He fades in and fades out, and a brilliant mind, it really was, just as sharp as a tack. But a victim of Alzheimer's disease, and Alzheimer's disease is increasing at a fantastic rate, and high government officials insist they have no idea what's happening, and I'm sure some of them really don't know. But obviously some of them do, because there's an obvious effort to conceal so much of what Dr. Kennedy is saying. And there are people at the upper echelons of the American Dental Association who know this, and that's why they're at the high levels of the American Dental Association, because that's where they can do the maximum harm. Well, David, is there any hope of getting through to at least the dentist and let them realize they're being poisoned? I mean, I would think that this would be a wonderful vehicle. Once you could convince a certain number of dentists why, then I would think this thing would begin to snowball.
Well, you know, I don't think the dentists are the people you need to talk to. And I know this seems harsh, but the trouble with the dentist education is they have absolutely no understanding of toxicology. You're much better off to talk to the mother or the physician than the dentist, because they don't have any background. You can tell them, you know, that so many micrograms of mercury are accumulating in this and that tissue, and they don't have the necessary scientific background to hang that information on anything. And they've been lied to by their dental schools. They've been told this has been researched thoroughly and it's been proven absolutely safe. But if you stop and say, oh, what study was that? How was that study done? Where was it published? Then they go, I'm sure it's somewhere. And that's the thing that is so frustrating in this whole argument, is that they want to say it's approved by the ADA. Well, who's the ADA? The ADA is not a regulatory agency. It's not a government agency. The FDA regulates and approves dental amalgam.
Well,
and they've never approved it.
What's the FDA doing to protect our dentists?
They're basically, what a puppet is, and so the ADA pulls the strings and the FDA jumps. The same people sat on the committee for the FDA as sat on the ADA Council on Dental Materials. That's a violation of the law that Congress formed when they formed the FDA, said you could not have industry involved in regulating itself.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll be right back here
exactly
with
what they did.
Dr. David Kennedy. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest is Dr. David Kennedy. And before we go on, I do want to mention we carry one of David's books. We carry a lot of his DVDs and other items. We carry his book, though. What is it? How to Save Your Teeth, is that it?
How to Save Your Teeth with Toxic-Free Preventive Dentistry.
All right, fine. We do carry that. What about a website where people can go and get some of the information you talk about, not only on mercury, but on fluoride as well?
That would be the International Academy of Oral Medicine Toxicology website, and it's www.iaomt.org.
Now, you're going to have to say that slowly.
Okay, here, I'm going to slow down. Well, if you know the name, then you know the letters. As in international, A as in academy, O oral, M as in medicine, and T as in toxicology, IAOMT, and then .org.
IAOMT, International Association of Medicine and Toxicology, and of course, and that is .org. So go there, you can get the information, and you can actually find the dentists who actually in your area are trained to take out the mercury fillings if you decide that you want to get rid of the toxic effect of these. Now, most people, you know, they look in their mouth, they see something that looks like it's stable. So if, as long as it's stable, why worry about it? I mean, the filling's been there for 30 years.
Well, the problem is that the filling staying in the hole is not the problem. The problem is that the filling leaks mercury. And that's there's a video of it that you have also there called Smoking Teeth that I prepared from a demonstration that you're able to photograph this stuff. This is not rocket science. This is 1900 technology, and that when you shine a 540 angstrom light on the filling, you can see mercury vapor coming off the filling more or less continuously at 98.6 degrees, the temperature of your mouth.
Because if you have a hot cup of coffee or a cup of hot coffee, why then you get more venting, don't
it? It turns into a huge plume. For every 10 degrees increase in temperature, you double the vapor pressure of mercury, and that means you double the amount of mercury that's coming off. And, you know, if your savings account doubled three or four times over the next few weeks, you'd be a very happy person because that, you know, it doubles on the double. So anyway, that's exactly what happens is when you have Starbucks, which I think they keep the thermometer about 130, 140 degrees, that's like four doubling. So, you know, if it was one before, then it becomes two, becomes four, becomes eight. So it's a huge increase when you put something hot on the filling. It also increases if you scratch it with a food, if you chew on it, if you grind your teeth at night, brush it with a toothbrush. All these things stimulate the filling and cause more mercury to come off. And that's the problem, is that mercury comes off all the fillings that have ever been made. And that, there, you know, we have denials from the people making the filling, but ask them for the science. At the FDA hearing just a few months ago, they whipped out a study. It was done in 1957, where they put radioactive fillings in people's teeth and some dogs, and then they found no mercury in the tissues. Well, their technique was so crude that they couldn't find the mercury. A more modern technique was done in 1987, where they put mercury fillings in sheep, and the mercury spread from the sheep's teeth to the hoof in 30 days, and they found mercury in every organ in that sheep's body. They did it in pregnant sheep, and they showed it transferred across to the pregnant sheep into the fetus and came out in the milk. And that's what modern science does. Well, why would they have to dig up a 1957 study? Because no scientist, and it was done by a dental student, by the way, for his, you know, a thesis, and it's never been published as a peer-reviewed scientific study itself. So they're going back, clear back to some student's paper in 57 to say, see, there's no mercury in the organs, where every paper since then that is done by today's standards has found mercury. I think that's, you know, reaching pretty far out to lie to the public, and that's what they were doing, is they were talking before the Food and Drug Administration to try to sway the regulators into accepting their claims that mercury was safe.
Now, what is actually the findings of this panel? This was a fairly recent panel, wasn't it?
This is September of 2006, so and September 6th and 7th, and I was there. Yeah. And what the panel, it's interesting, the dentist can't certify mixed dental amalgam as safe because we can't diagnose or treat any of the problems that it causes. If you've got Parkinson's, you don't go see your dentist. If you've got multiple sclerosis, you don't go see your dentist. If you've got Alzheimer's, you don't go see your dentist. So they had a panel of neurologists and a panel of dentists, and we got all but one of the neurologists and four of the dentists to say that mercury fillings, that the FDA white paper saying mercury fillings were safe, was not accurate, not well done, not good science. And so we got, no, this isn't right. And so it's back to so what do they do in Washington? They give the paper back to the same liars that wrote it and say, work on this some more.
But what came out of that time? Seems to me, as I remember reading the paper, there was a suggestion that that really there was some question about the safety of dental fillings, wasn't there?
Well, what happened was, and I think all the major papers in the United States received the FDA white paper saying the FDA had determined that dental fillings were safe. But the trouble was that white paper was released a full 2 weeks before the committee met. Well, I mean, you understand, if they were going to take your and my professional reputations and put them on the line, and then the people putting our reputations and our names and our goodwill and our names on the line, released to the U.S. public press the results of our deliberations 2 weeks before we even get together, you'd think maybe they were trying to sway the findings of the committee. Well, it really irritated the people on the committee because there's no reason for them to be telling the public that what the white paper said, because that wasn't the conclusion of the committee. But many papers never published a retraction. I'm thinking of the Boston Globe and the Los Angeles Times. They published the paper saying, oh, yeah, dental fillings, the FDA has determined dental fillings are safe. And then when the panel met, they didn't say that. But the paper never published a retraction. People are confused.
Of course, you'd expect there to be, because it's an organized, orchestrated effort to deceive the American people. They're poisoning the American people. And when Alzheimer's brains have four times the mercury in it that the normal brain would, an intelligent my individual would have to assume that maybe, just maybe, there's some relationship there. And of course, we know that from the studies. And if you want to see the pictures of actually what happens to the neurons that are exposed to mercury, we have a video called
Neuron degeneration. And the level of mercury that they added to that video was 100 times less than people have in the cerebral spinal fluid, the fluid that floats around the brain. The brain floats in the cerebral spinal fluid and up and down the spinal cord. It's 100 times less than is found in people that have mercury fillings in their teeth. So they underexposed the nerve, and they showed it died fairly quickly.
And it actually kills the neurons. They know that. And they're allowing it. You say, why would that be? Now, where can people get the information on what really happened when they had the panel? What was the information that was suppressed by the controlled media?
Well, when the DVD will be out, and I'm sure I'll be back on your program in, after the March 15th. But March 15th, hope to have a screening of the DVD at the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology meeting, which is going to be in Tucson. And that a videographer was there. She made a video, and we've put together it's actually almost 16 hours of video, and she's condensed it down into about 70 minutes of just the hard-hitting points, and as well as public testimony. There are over 51 people traveled to Washington, D.C. to tell that panel of the problems that they'd experienced with mercury fillings, and that actually affected the panel. A lot of neurologists said that that they've been treating neurological diseases for umpteenth years, and that they really hadn't ever seen this kind of information. And, what neurologist has ever told you to take your mercury fillings out, carefully, with a hose on your nose so you don't inhale the fumes? I have to get my disclaimer in here. People listening to this program, do not rush out and have your mercury fillings ground out. That will expose you to more mercury. Is that you have to be protected, and the protection protocols are on that website I gave you, the IAMT website. But suffice it to say that it's like removing a bomb from your basement. If the bomb disposal squad shows up with only a hammer, you don't want to be there when they take that bomb out of the basement.
And of course, the thing is, of course, that the committee actually came up with the conclusion that the fillings really, there was a very serious question about this. Fillings be safe? Does it actually say that on the DVD?
Yes, and I have the paper right here in front of me, and here's what they voted 13-7 to reject. And the question was, does the FDA white paper objectively and clearly present the current state of knowledge about the exposure? And I have to joke, because exposure to what? They left the word mercury out there. Exposure to mercury and health effects related to dental amalgam. No, it does not, 13-7. And remember, they had packed the committee with 10 dentists, so they should have got a 50-50 if they could get one neurologist. Anyway. Given the amount and quality of information available for the FDA white paper, are the conclusions reasonable? No, they are not. So, when you get a no-no from a biased committee, not one person on that committee had ever published any research about mercury. And so this is not really an expert committee, is it? I mean, how can you have a bunch of experts considering mercury toxicity when you don't have experts in mercury toxicity on the committee yet? They were clever enough to be able to listen to the testimony and say, these conclusions aren't reasonable. I mean, if for anything, none of the studies had any effect. Nobody had even studied pregnant women and children. The manufacturers themselves recommend against it. And here they were saying, well, see, we did this study of children who were all healthy, had no neurological impairments, and we showed that their urinary mercury went way down when we put mercury in their teeth. And see, that means they're okay, right? No, that's not what it shows, and that's what the FDA panel said. That's not a reasonable conclusion from that experiment. One of the best people on the panel was a PhD in pharmacology, and he asked the advocates for mercury fillings from the FDA. He said, "What are the pharmakinetics of mercury?" And for your listeners, pharmacokinetics is how does it interact with the cells? How does it get involved in the body's metabolism? And the guy, I could have answered the question better than that guy. The guy says, we don't know.
We don't know, but we're going to allow this to be put in your mouth. we're going to allow it to be injected into your children, and we're going to be allowed to give it to your pregnant women, but we don't know.
We don't know.
They do know, though. That's the thing. They're lying.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. One of the things that mercury interferes with is the production of hemoglobin. Hemoglobin is essential in energy. And so you get all these people walking around with chronic fatigue, which is one of the other illnesses that's related to mercury. Well, why do you feel tired? Because you're low in oxygen. Why are you low in oxygen? Because your red blood cells don't have hemoglobin. Hemoglobin is what the molecule, is the prosthetic molecule, supposed to carry the oxygen molecule of the cell so your cell can use it. Well, if you're mercury poisoned, one of the things that happens is the hemoglobin goes down in the cell and the amount of it, and you can't carry oxygen out, so you walk around, it's kind of like you're choking to death slowly. And, you know, it doesn't kill you, it just makes you feel like, you know, you've run 100 miles and haven't slept for days. And that's chronic fatigue. And heme does a lot in the body, including scavenging a lot of the stuff in the brain. The ADA will point to a study that they actually had a lot to do with. It's called the Nun Study, and they had like 95 nuns, and they measured the amount of mercury in their brains, and they said, see, there's no relationship to their mental acuity. They're deceased nuns, of course. But what was interesting is the study was so poorly done, they tried to get a half a dozen different journals to publish it, and they refused. And what's interesting, when you actually look at the data, the control group, a lot of them people were edentulous. Well, what do you know about somebody who lost all their teeth? Well, they had a bunch of mercury fillings, and they had them pulled. Well, you know, that doesn't mean you didn't have mercury. That just means you had your teeth pulled, you know. Anyway, so the amount of mercury in the pons area, the area that's of the brain involved in smelling, where you might inhale mercury, was actually higher in the control than it was in the nuns that had Alzheimer's disease. So, you know, would you say that they had a good control for their study, or did they have a hugely exposed control, and they're trying to say, see, there's no relationship? No, it's just the opposite. There is a huge relationship, and they're just trying to cover it up. I don't know what we're going to do with them, Stan. They shouldn't be allowed to do that, what they're doing is that they're making the people that think it's foolish to expose people willy-nilly to mercury prove that there's a problem. And that we have all, this country signed on to what's called the precautionary principle. And that the precautionary principle says that once there's an avoidable exposure, we should take steps to avoid the exposure to protect the public. And that's not what's being done. They're saying, you've got to prove that it's caused this disease or that disease. And that's not my responsibility. I'm not saying expose everybody to poison. They are.
And of course, the thing is, it should be that they would have to prove it's safe.
Exactly. Isn't that what the FDA requires, safe and effective? Prove to me that exposing people, when you measure the amount of mercury coming out of somebody who has mercury fillings, and most of the mercury leaves the body through the bowel, and that Scari and Enquist showed that there was around 150 micrograms. If you had an average number of fillings, about 150 micrograms a day coming out through your stool. Well, the maximum EPA exposure to mercury from sources other than air is 10 micrograms, and it's like a savings account. You can't have 150 coming out and only 10 going in. You know that. So obviously, people are exposed to levels that are known to be dangerous. And so how can you prove that safe? You know, you're going to have to get busy and start, you know, dumbing up the numbers or something, because it doesn't make any sense to allow them to expose you to that level of mercury, and that's exactly what is happening when you have mercury fillings in your teeth.
But do you know a better way to destroy a great nation than to poison the people?
You can poison them faster.
Yeah, you can poison them faster. In Russia today, the average man, he used to live to be 68 years. The average man in Russia dies at 58 or 59. And they say, oh, shucks, we have no idea why this is happening. The Russian people have been used for medical experiments, both by our government and by the Russian government, for many years. And you're seeing the end result of that, as they're losing 770,000 people every single year. 770,000 more people die than are born. There are more people in coffins than there are in cradles, far more. And yet they just shrug and say, oh, shucks, we can't figure it out. And just as here in America, we can't figure out why 1 in 5 American children or 6 American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality. We can't figure out why Alzheimer's disease is on the rise and why cancer is on the rise and why heart disease is on the rise and why diabetes is on the rise and why pathological obesity is on the rise. But, well, we're going to do another study. We want another couple of $1 billion. And they're still not going to find out the answer because they know the answers. They really are wicked people. I've talked to some of them. I've debated these people when I was in organized medicine, ladies and gentlemen. But what you don't understand is that they have a different worldview. And I will never forget one time when I was debating a woman, and after we got back, I said, look, I'm just trying to help people. How can you object to that? And she looked at me, and I looked into her eyes, and I don't think I've ever seen anything quite so evil. And she scowled, and she said, you don't understand. We have a different worldview. And that's what it's all about. We're going to be back here just to wrap up the program. Our guest has been Dr. David Kennedy. Get his information. Learn what's going on and help us try to save the lives of innocent children. Well, David, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, let me conclude the program saying, but first, thanks to you, Stan, for bringing this information to your listeners, because it's through programs like this that the public becomes informed, and that's the only way that this thing is going to stop. It's not going to stop because they want to, or they decided they developed a conscience. They have a different program, a different agenda, and it's your listeners that are going to have to protect their family first and then protect their nation next, and that they're going to have to do that by saying no to poisons in their water, poisons in their mouth, and you have to poison your air. It's just no, 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 I don't want that. And you have to stand up and fight because there's a lot of money in getting rid of these things through your body. And that would be, you know, water fluoridation, mercury fillings in your teeth, et cetera, et cetera. So, again, I will add my disclaimer is don't go out to your local dentist and have him grind these out. You'll get a huge exposure. If you're a woman and you're pregnant, there are things you can do topically that will reduce the amount of mercury coming off the fillings. So don't go grind on them. That's not the way to do it. And, but you know, if you intend to get pregnant, get them out at least 7 months ahead of time with the following the IMT protocol. It's been shown to reduce the exposure to the fetus. And just say no to vaccines that have mercury in them. That would be the flu vaccine, Rogan, and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, there are many ways you can protect yourself and your family. Stan's got videotape, books, information, and that keep listening to this program, and you'll keep finding out how to protect your family and protect yourself. Thank you for the opportunity, Dr. Monteith, for allowing me to join you on this program and share what I've learned over the last 20-some-odd years about mercury and the danger to dental personnel and the danger to people that have it in their teeth.
Well, it's always a pleasure having you with us, David. Thank you for being with us, and we look forward to having you back in the not-too-distant future.
Good evening.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, our guest has been Dr. David Kennedy. And, you know, if you know women who work in dental offices, point out the things that David is talking about. And you really need to get a copy of programs like this. And we're going to get, hopefully, all of these scientific studies together. We've done it with iodine, and, pardon me, I should say with fluoride, and we have a great syllabus. This shows you the scientific studies on fluoride, and it's just a matter of time we could put together a syllabus on mercury and show how they are knowingly and intentionally poisoning the elderly and poisoning the children and poisoning the pregnant women. And until you understand that there really are people in the world who have a different worldview, who see nothing wrong with this sort of thing, until you understand that there really are people with a different worldview, you can't understand what's going on. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope that many of you out there have enjoyed the program. And then, of course, we do carry a number of things. We actually carry a DVD that Dr. Kennedy provides called The Smoking Tooth. Another one that's called Thimerosal. Now, these are two that he is responsible for putting out and offering to us. We have another a DVD. It's called Without Informed Consent. And you'll actually see pictures there of how the nerve fibers are actually destroyed. You put a little mercury in them and how it will destroy the nerve fibers. We have 2 4-tape sets on mercury, interviews with experts in this field that we think have an excellent grasp of what's going on. We have a four-tape set on autism. We carry the book, Evidence of Harm. And you'll want to weep when you understand what we're doing to our children. Certainly, you would want to get a couple of my interviews with Dr. Mark and David Geyer. Our recent studies with them, our recent interviews with them, they're certainly two of the leading scientists in this study. They're the ones who actually were able to get into the CDC database. And they didn't want to let them in there, but they were able to get in, and they found out that there was 27 times more incidence of autism in the children that got the mercury-laden vaccines than the children who didn't. They know this. They just don't want you to know. I mean, how do you explain to mothers that you've been poisoning their children? How do you burden a family with an autistic child who will never be normal? And why are they doing everything they can to discourage these children from getting treatment, because they can be dramatically improved? But it's almost as if they don't want them to improve. And you say that science is so difficult for anybody to believe this sort of thing. Well, that, of course, takes you into, of course, our fluoride syllabus, and the hidden agenda, and, of course, we simply have there the pages from Bertrand Russell's book, who talks about through diet injections and injunctions, we'll be able to mold the minds of the generations of the children so they'll never be able to think independently from what they were taught by their school supervisors. That comes from page 53, and you'll actually get a copy of the page from Bertrand Russell's book. I got permission from the people who hold the copyright to include it. That's The Impact of Science on Society by Bertrand Russell. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will certainly want to get the material we have as far as mercury is concerned. Again, the DVDs, Without Informed Consent, The Smoking Tooth, Thimerosal. And the one on thimerosal is really fascinating because it shows a series of interviews that were done by a television commentator somewhere in the Middle West. And it's about 20 minutes of a special as he goes around talking to experts in the field and all the government experts telling you there's absolutely nothing to worry about from mercury. Oh, it's perfectly safe. And then, of course, he asks probing questions, and you see them hesitate, and you see them lying, and you can tell they're lying. And these are highly placed government officials who are lying to cover up what's going on, the poisoning of the American people. And then, of course, it concludes with Dr. Geyer and Dr. David and Dr. Mark Geyer as they simply go through so much of what's going on. I should say Dr. Mark Geyer and David Geyer. David Geyer is the son who's been working on a PhD, and now he's working full-time with his father. They're trying to get the information out. They have effective treatments that have helped so many children. You want to get our 2 4-tape sets on mercury. You'll certainly want to get, as I mentioned earlier, the book Evidence of Harm. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, make it a point to begin to tell others. This is a winning point. How can you justify poisoning children? 1 in 6 American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality. Do you care? Who would want to poison children? Well, go to our website, radioliberty.com. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. And again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.